Let me tell you a story. There was this man who lived many, many years ago. You can actually add a few more minutes to the count, because really, he lived a long time ago. He was a man in his prime, ginger-haired, steady and strong, willful and determined too. A man of the world. He was a firstborn. This man went out to hunt for meat. He loved to hunt. You can say he was a man of the wild, skilled in his craft. He was very gifted. His success ratio was often guaranteed. Failure? Nah, close to nil. He returned home one day after a hunt, exhausted and famished. And that is when he saw it, bubbling on the fire, dispersing a lovely aroma, filling his senses, the pot of lentil stew. He saw its cook stir the pot, and his empty belly couldn't wait. He yearned for a taste. But the cook presented the stew at a price, not a price in gold or in silver, neither a price in wheat nor in barley, but rather a price in right. Now that's interesting, wouldn't you say? At what point would anyone be willing to sell their rights? Well, let me first state a few rights I learned, and probably you may have also learned in junior high school. So we have the right to move, the right to faith or religion, the right to speech. You can talk about the right to education, and ultimately, the right to live. There are many other rights. I just mentioned a few. But I realized something. Humans are passionate about rights. We in no way tolerate anything that attempts to impede, intrude, take away, or steal them. Nothing should be able to come in the way of our freedom to do X, Y, or Z. We are ready to fight for them, defend them, and even keep them sometimes. Many past and present movements are wheeled on the concept of equal rights. Yet I dare say some of these rights we intensively agitate for are not important in the greater scheme of God's blueprint of life. I believe the most important to God is righteousness. However, this steady and red-haired skilled man made a fatal choice that day as he sat and stared at a bubbling pot of stew. Now, in the seconds of time in which his mind and heart weighed and processed the value of the right in question against the value of the mixture of perhaps tomatoes, onions, garlic, and some lentils, the stew tipped the scale. And in that moment, he gave up his birthright. Now, in modern times, the system of birthrights are slightly different, especially with laws that divide inheritance equally and so on. But at that time, it was very different. Your inheritance as a firstborn meant that the whole of your father's estate belonged to you at his passing. His blessings and all his associates were handed to the firstborn son as a custodian. Now, this man named Esau gave it all up for a bowl of stew to fill his stomach one hot afternoon. Mind-blowing, right? He devalued his inheritance without once considering the repercussions of his actions. It's unfortunate to think that many centuries before him, another man bit into a fruit in exchange for his inheritance. But that's a story for another day. Now, just like Esau, too many times we exchange things of value for things of no value. Too many unfair and unequal exchanges in our lives. Too many unwise decisions. Too many ungodly choices. To be honest, I've made a few exchanges of my own. Exchanges that have cost me. Sales that have led to downfalls in my life. We make them once too many times. But it must stop. Paul said in Hebrews 12, verse 16 and 17, "Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite." You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessings, but by then it was too late, tears or no tears. Now, I want us to do this together. Take an account of your life. Open the balance books, examine your inflows and outflows. Critically assess your assets and value them. Check what's eternal and what's temporal. Where have we exchanged our birthrights for stews? I'd want to ask, do you have eternal life in Jesus Christ? If not, what you have is a bowl of stew. It will finish, and very quickly too. Then what you will have is nothing, no eternity. If you have eternal life, check your trades, your futures, and your spot buys. Invest and trade in what will last. We have in us an inheritance of eternal value. a vineyard of grapes, a field of wheat in which we must plant seeds of eternal value and harvest fruits of eternal value. You can call it a fishing company of eternal value as well, where we fish men from the darkest of the sea to the light of the boat, a search and rescue mission where we seek and find the lost to bring home. We have a baking company where forever bread is produced, manna, which one eats and never hungers again. We own a well with springs living water that men drink and never thirst again. We have an eternal inheritance, righteousness. We cannot exchange it for the flimsiness of temporal bowls of stew, which have great instantaneous taste, no lasting flavor, for it fills us now, but not forever. We eventually get hungry again. The eternal inheritance is different. Look at all the assets listed above. That is 0.1666 of the whole. Such a small fraction. The total value of our eternal inheritance is so much more. Priceless, I must tell you. Eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Let me share a secret with you. Choosing Jesus is a wise choice. Submitting to the will of God is a good standpoint. Following the purpose of God is the right decision. So I plead with you, choose wisely.